Genesis chapter 34, and it's the opening verse, the verse 1. It says, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get ye possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, Because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But on this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the city, unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son, hearken to all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones. Their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, Ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid under the oak which was by Shechem, and they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his... One Saturday morning, I lifted the newspaper and I read the story that was on the left-hand side of that paper. It told the story of a man called Richard Smith. Richard Smith, I suppose, was a fairly average sort of guy. He lived in a decent house. He had the model family. He had a decent car. He had a decent job. And to the outside world, everything seemed fine. Everything seemed good. On a particular Sunday, he was the sort of guy that wasn't in the habit of going to church. Sunday was a day of relaxation for him. Sunday was a day for doing bits and pieces around the house. The neighbors observed. He was out cutting his grass. He was washing the car. They spoke to him. They said hello to him as they passed. Richard Smith proceeded to finish washing the car and rolled up the hose, put the buckets away in the garage, left everything tidy, and all seemed very well. However, the next day painted a very different picture. Because the next day, when some family members came to the house, they discovered that even as he had stood and washed the car, his wife and two little children were already dead. And Richard Smith finished washing the car and went into that house and killed himself. What a devastating thing for the family to discover. What a shock, what a horror for all those that knew them and loved them and lived round about them. On the opposite page of the paper, it told the story of a girl called Christina. That girl originally lived in Seattle. And she was living there, and one day she made a decision that she was going to come to the UK. She came to the UK, and maybe to many around her it seemed like a silly decision, it seemed like a foolish decision, but she came to the UK, and the paper went on to say that she got a job in the UK, she formed many friendships in the UK, she met the man who was to be her husband in the UK. And looking back to that day when she left Seattle and she came to the UK, she said, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Now, why have I told you these two stories? I've told you the two stories for a very simple reason. I'm sure as all of us will realize, there are things that happen to us in life that are completely beyond our control. There are things that come into our daily lives that we never seen coming, things that we're powerless to do anything about. But listen, we have also got to realize that many of the decisions that we make in our life and how our lives turned out and how the lives of our friends and family around us turn out will be dependent upon the decisions that you and I make. In other words, I'm saying that you and I, through the decisions that we make in life, have a great impact on what the future is going to be for us. And nowhere is that more true than we come to God's Word. The decisions that we make concerning God's Word, those decisions will have a massive impact on our lives in the days that lie ahead. Let me stop for a moment. Let me say a word to those perhaps here this morning who are unsaved. You're here today and maybe you're in the habit of coming to church and you have heard the gospel. You've heard, even in the kids' talk this morning, the need to be saved. And I say to you this morning that the decision you make upon whether or not to get saved will be the greatest decision you ever make. It will have the greatest impact upon your future, because based on that decision, you will either end up spending eternity in heaven or in hell. But listen, those of us who are saved, you know, we're very good at pointing that sort of thing out to the unsaved, aren't we? We're very good at saying to them, listen, The decisions you make upon on the message you hear has going to have a tremendous impact upon your future. And yet sometimes I think we forget to realize that the decisions we make in relation to God's word also have an impact on our future. And for that reason this morning, I want to draw your attention here to Genesis chapter 35 and the verse 1. In particular, words that God spoke to this man called Jacob. And in chapter 35 and the verse 1, God says to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And I want to think about this wee phrase for a few moments this morning. Now, there are a number of questions that we could ask about this thing that God says to Jacob. We could ask, why did he say it to him? We could ask, where is the place called Bethel? We could ask, how did he get to Bethel, or what was involved? We could ask, what happened after he got to Bethel? Quite a number of questions. But time is slipping by, and so for this morning, what we really want to do is this. We want to focus on the question, why? Why did God say to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel? Here's this man, and he's living in this place. And God, it would seem almost out of nowhere, comes to Jacob and says, Jacob, listen, it's time to up sticks. It's time to move house. It's time to live in a different area. It's time to live in a different place. Jacob, I want you to arise, and I want you to go to Bethel. Why does God say that to him? Well, let me give you a number of answers. The first answer is this. Jacob was dwelling in the wrong place. That's why God said to him, go to Bethel, because Jacob was living in the wrong place. Now, let me very quickly fill you in a bit of the background. You've heard of students taking a gap year. They go away perhaps to some foreign country in the middle of their studies. Well, Jacob, he did a similar type thing, but he did it a bit later in life and he stayed away for a long time. But there was a reason behind it. Jacob had deceived his brother out of his birthright. He'd also deceived his brother out of the blessing, and his brother was mad at him. His brother was raging at him. And Jacob's mother advised him. She says, why don't you go away? And why don't you go to your uncle's house in a far off land? And why don't you stay there for a wee while until your brother has calmed down? And so Jacob took her advice, fearing that his life was is in danger. Jacob took her advice and he headed off to his uncle's house. But it was a long, long journey. And the first night, there he was in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the wilderness. And he lay down to sleep. And I can imagine there he is, a young man, and he's in the middle of the desert. He's made a mess of his life. He's deceived his brother. He's lonely. He's sad. He's left his family behind. So many emotions going through his mind. And God comes and God meets with him. And God blesses him. And God gives him assurance. And God says, listen, Jacob, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to protect you. But listen, he says, Jacob, there's one thing I want you to do. He says, you see, when you finish living in your uncle's house and when you come back, he says, there's a place I want you to go. I want you to come back to this particular spot called Bethel. You know, the years passed and Jacob stayed in the uncle's house for a long time. He got himself a wife or wives. He got himself family. He got himself a lot of wealth and he started to head back towards home. And even on the way home, God says to Jacob, he says, Jacob, go back to Bethel. I want you to go back to Bethel. And, you know, it seemed as if everything was going according to plan. It seemed as if Jacob was heading to Bethel. But there at the end of chapter 33, we didn't take time to read it this morning, but at the end of chapter 33, it says, Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house there. I don't know what happened. Maybe they got tired. Maybe they got weary. Maybe they decided, look, we'll go into Succoth and we'll rest here for a few days. But the few days turned into a few weeks, and a few weeks turned into a few months. And before long, Jacob was building cattle sheds, and Jacob was settled down. He was living in the wrong place. He wasn't living in the place where God wanted him to be. You know, he was just like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. He had strayed off into Bypath Meadow. I wonder how it is in our Christian life. I wonder, is it possible that you and I are living in the wrong place as far as God's concerned? Well, you may be like Jacob. There was a time when we started on the journey. And listen, when Jacob left his uncle's house, oh, he was so enthusiastic. He was so excited. He was so determined to go back to Bethel. But as the journey went along, the pace started to slacken. And as the journey went along, he strayed off into the bypath meadow. And I wonder, is that how it is with us as God's people this morning? Is it possible that we are not in the place we should be as far as God's concerned? You know, maybe when we were first saved, we were enthusiastic, we were full of zeal, we were full of fire. Nothing was too much of a trouble. We would have done anything for God. So filled with passion, so filled with fire, so filled with a concern for the lost, so keen to do a work for God. But as the years have went by, the enthusiasm has gone. Listen, I can't point fingers this morning because, firstly, I need to look into my own heart. And secondly, I can't see into your heart. I mean, what I'm talking about here this morning is something, it's something deeply personal. What I'm speaking about here this morning is something that each one of us need to do this morning for ourselves. We need to look into our hearts and ask ourselves the question, have things slipped in our lives? Is our relationship with God what it once was? Is it possible that we're living in the wrong place as far as our relationship with God is concerned? And is it possible that God would need to come to us this morning and say, my child, arise and go to Bethel. Get back to that place where you were when you first met me. Because he was living in the wrong place. Why did God say to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel? Well, there's another answer. And that is that his witness had become ineffective. Look down there at the end of chapter 34. And you'll see Jacob, he says to Simeon and Levi, he says, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. Do you ever notice that the early saints, whenever they moved from one place to the other, one of the first things they always did was they built an altar. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why did they build an altar? Well, of course, there's a number of reasons. One of the reasons was to worship God and to thank him for being with them in their journeys, was to thank him for his presence and his protection along the way. But listen, there was another reason why they built an altar. And the other reason was this, that altar was a witness. That altar said to all the people round about, listen, we're not like you. We're different. We're a people that doesn't worship the gods of stone or of wood. We're a people who worships the God of heaven. By building that altar, they were establishing a witness. You know what Jacob's saying to the sons now? He's saying, listen, you see what you have done? You have went out and you have treated these people deceitfully. Irrespective of what they have done, he says, you have treated them. He says, you have treated them deceitfully, and you have killed them, and you have taken their spoil. He says, listen, you have made my name stink. In other words, he's saying, fellas, listen, there's no point in us going out and building an altar now. He says, because they'll only laugh at us. They'll only ridicule us. They'll only make a laughing stock out of us. He says, our witness, our stand has become completely ineffective, and because for that reason God comes to Jacob and he says, listen, Jacob, your witness is ineffective. It's time for you to make a new start. It's time for you to arise, and it's time for you to go up to Bethel. You know, I wonder, is it possible that in our lives our witness has become ineffective? Do you ever ask yourself the question why, when God saved you, he didn't take you straight to heaven right away? The answer is very simple. He left you on this earth to be a witness. You and I, each one of us in our daily lives, we come across people that maybe another Christian will never come across. And what are we to be to those people? We are to be signposts to them. We are to be shining examples to them. We are meant to be reflections of our Lord and Savior to them. I wonder, is it possible that we can't be to those people what we once were because of our lives? Through their thoughts and through their actions and through their words, their witness for God had become ineffective. I wonder, when we go into our place of employment, Is there things that we have done in our business dealings, things that we have done in our places of employment that have caused the unsaved around us to ridicule? Is it possible that our witness for God is not as effective as it once was because of our words and because of our actions? I wonder, is God coming to us this morning and saying, listen, my child, it's time for you to arise. It's time for you to go to Bethel. It's time for you to make a new start, because I want you to be a witness for me. And the way you're living your life at the moment isn't in keeping with that. Why did he need to arise and go to Bethel? Because he was dwelling in the wrong place. Because his witness had become ineffective. But listen, notice something else. Because his family were in danger. Look there at the end of the verse, or at the end of the chapter 34. What is one of Jacob's greatest fears? He says, I shall be destroyed, I and my house. You know something, I want us to stop here and really consider what's taking place here. Here's Jacob. And such a turmoil and such a mess his domestic situation is in at this point. Here's this young girl, Dinah, his daughter. And can you picture the scene? Dinah has come along to her mom and her dad. And she said to them, listen, I'm tired of the restrictions of living in this godly home. And she said to them, listen, you see those girls that live in this city that we are living in, or the girls that live in the town. She says, I want to go out, and I want to go out some night with them. I'm tired of the restrictions that you have placed upon me. I know we're God's people and all the rest, but sure, I'm only going out for a look around. I only want to go out and spend a wee bit of time with them and get to know them. You can see Jacob scratching his head, and you can see the turmoil going through his mind, and he doesn't want to let her do it, but eventually, after persistence, they give in, and the young girl goes out and runs around with the girls of the town. Before long, the news comes back to the family home. The daughter has fallen in love with a young man, and they've engaged in activities they shouldn't have engaged in, and here's this young girl, and now she's pregnant. And the brothers have committed a great sin on the back of that, and have killed these men, and the whole family is in a mess. You know, there's many warnings here. There's a warning here to every young person in this church building this morning, and the warning is this. That in your Christian life, Satan will come along and he will try to tempt you. And he will ask you to push the boundaries, and he will try and rationalize with you and try to get you to do things that you wouldn't normally do, and try to put doubts in your mind and say, is there any harm in doing that thing? The boundaries will be pushed. Before long, your life will be in a mess. Listen, you see that day when Dinah came along and said to Mom and Dad, can I go out and hang about with the girls in this city, go out with them for a night? Do you think she ever imagined it would have ended up such a mess? Do you think she ever imagined she would have ended up in bed with this young man, that this young man that she had fallen in love with would end up being killed, and that her whole family would be in her turmoil? No, never for a moment did she imagine things would get that bad. Young person, be very careful about the decisions you make, the boundaries you push. There's a warning here for us all. The warning is this, that sin will take us further than we ever want to go. It'll cost us more than we ever want to pay. The Bible says, to him that standeth, take heed lest he fall. It's so easy for us this morning to sit in our seat, or for me to stand here and say, listen, that would never happen to me. Listen, if we're thinking like that, we're in a very dangerous position. Sin will take us further than we ever want to go. But listen, there's another warning. And the warning is to every one of us here who are parents this morning. Let me come back to where I started. Do you ever look at this passage and realize that if Jacob had been living in the place where he was meant to be living, this would never have happened? My, what a warning to those of us who are parents. And the warning is this: if we're not in the place where we're meant to be with God, then it can have a drastic impact upon all of our families and upon those that are around us. Why did Jacob say, or God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel? Because he was dwelling in the wrong place, because his witness had become ineffective, because his family were in danger. But listen, let me just very quickly say in closing, because of the despair he felt. You see, Jacob was at the point where his back was against the wall. Jacob was at the point where he didn't know where to turn. His head was in turmoil. And yes, while God is coming to him with a chastening hand, God is also coming to him with a loving hand. And God saying, Jacob, listen, Jacob, your life's a mess. But he says, I love you and I want things to turn around. I want it to be sorted out. I want you to be rid of that despair that you feel. And he says, here's how you do it. Get back to Bethel. You know, someone has said, if we don't listen to the word of God, then God will speak through circumstances, through problems, and through tragedies. Maybe we are here this morning and things aren't good in our life at the minute. There's problems, there's difficulties. Maybe we're feeling a measure of despair that some situation is going on in our life. We don't know where to turn, we don't know what to do. Child of God, you know what God's saying this morning? He's saying, arise, go to Bethel, come to me, get back to where you should be. You know, if we had time to go into the rest of the story, Jacob did arise and Jacob did go to Bethel, and Jacob and God had sweet fellowship, and Jacob enjoyed God's promises and God's presence again. But you know what the tragedy was? It was years and years after the time that he should have been there. And I'm sure as Jacob looked back across those years, he must have said to himself, wasted years. If only I had went to Bethel when I should. If only I had taken that step at that time, I could have saved myself so much hurt, so much despair, could have saved my family so much pain. Child of God, if God's speaking to you this morning, don't put it off. Don't waste any more years. Let's get back to where we should be with God. Let's remember where we started, the two stories. Two individuals who, through the decisions they made, had drastically different outcomes in their lives and in the lives of their families. May we listen to God's word this morning and make the right decision for our life.